Okay, Rav Osei, we are learning the sugya of Mishashim and Mamon. We started the sugya last time. I'm going to finish it up now. And we saw Rava's shita. Rava has a split that is a little bit difficult to understand. Rava Amar Ba'inan Kashzam Asis La'achiv V'lecha. If you go ahead and split the Malkus, you're not having Kashzam. Ihachi Mamon Nami. So Mamon also, you don't have Kashzam. So Gemara answers Mamon Mitztaref and Malkus Lo Mitztaref. So Gemara has this cryptic line that somehow Mamon is combined and Malkus does not combine. So we want to say three pshatim in that idea. We mentioned two last time. And then I want to develop a third pshat in Rava Shita. Pshat number one we saw last time was, I think, is going to be built in Rashi's pshat. What does it mean, Mamon Mitztaref? So Rashi says, V'harei kibel masha rotzu lahafsido ben kulam, is that the Nidon receives the money, and the Ritva says as well that all the money is deposited by the Nidon. So in the hands of the Nidon, it's Mitztaref, it joins. Whereas Malkus, the chiv to Malkus is really a chiv to Bezdin, or to the state, so to speak. That's not mitzvah, but since the money is being directed, like a nezek payment, to the Nidon, so there it's mitzvah. That's Rashi, that's the Ritva. I asked you to take a look at the Nimuke Yosef, and the Nimuke Yosef suggests what seems to be a different idea. He says, Ein Meshalshin b'Malkus, Shem Yilke Zechatzi Malkus, Zechatzi Malkus, Lo Mekan Kasha Zomam, Shekol echad rotzel achayvo malchus aboyim ve'en roi letzayv chatzi malchus shel zeh im chatzi malchus shel zeh shareheim shnei gufin avo har mamon harei bo hakol yad mishe yidu alav. Mamon all goes to the Nidon. Malchus is going to shnei gufin, and therefore there's a lack of kasher zaman when it's going to shnei gufin. So just to elaborate a little bit on the Nimuke Yosef, I asked you to take a look at a very famous Beis Halevi. And the Beis Halevi is discussing really a philosophical issue in Tanakh, but he uses our Gemara to resolve a philosophical issue. And he wants to know that the Jewish people over the years have been sent to Golis. And in Golis, one of the consequences of being in Golis is persecution, whether it's in Mitzrayim, or whether it's in Paras, or whether wherever it might be. So here he says that the Ratzon Hashem is that we should be gola, and the Ratzon Hashem is that in Golus we should receive Yisurim. That's the Ratzon Hashem. Yet we also find in the Nevi'im that the Goyim that end up persecuting us get punished. So why should we be getting punished? After all, they're just doing the Ratzon Hashem, which is that we should experience Yisurim in the Golus. That's the question he's trying to address. And then he says that apparently the Goyim must be piling on. Is that... Yeah, it's supposed to be in Golus, and we're supposed to be persecuted, but the Goyim happen to relish persecuting Jews, and therefore they're supposed to give X units of persecution, and they give X plus Y units of persecution, and therefore they're going to get punished because of the piling on. And then he says, but as a result of piling on, I'm reading about halfway through, V'lechora nira ashelo atid lo yagi lahem onesh rakafi erech hayisum shosif midatam. But they're not just going to be punished for the why that they added on their own. But they're not going to, and then lechora they should only get punished for why and not for the X that they were supposed to do anyway. But then he says, based on our Gemara, that no, they're going to even be punished for at least a part of the X as well, even though that was the Ratzon Hashem. Why? Because when you are bimake the Y on top of the X, so that becomes, as we mentioned last time, exponentially painful. The Y is being built on the X, and now the X actually hurts more than it would have otherwise. And as such, the onus that they're going to receive is not just for the Y, but also for the X. And he says that's exactly the pshat in our Gemara over here, is that why is it, what's the pshat in Malkus is not mitztaref, and Mamon is mitztaref, because he says he writes ukvar shamati l'ech migdolei hachacham shenidchak lahavin achil shebeneim. One of the gedolim did not understand what is the pshat in Rava, why Mamon is mitztaref, Malkus is not. Uve emes hachiluk poshim de Mamon meyazuzim he mamish hachatzim en amasayim ukemishal shemim biyachad mamish kashezamam de beis pamona he masayim. Is that 100? It's half of 200. So when you go at 100 plus 100, it's half of 200. Aval Malkus HaKoh HaShnia Makeves Yoter HaBei Min HaRishona V'chein HaShlish Is Kosha HaBei Yoter Min HaShtayim V'chein Kulam. And because it's coming on a Basar HaMuka, it's coming on a wounded flesh already, and therefore the pain is going to be exponential. And as a result, when you go ahead and give this A 20 Malkus and that A 20 Malkus, does it equal the pain quotient to 40 Malkus? The answer does not. It equals less than that, and that's why there's a chisaron of kashizah. So that's the approach to the Beis HaLevi. I'm suggesting that's really what the Nimuke Yosef means. When you're going Shnei Gufim, if it's Shnei Gufim, then it's not the same as one set of Malkus on one Guf, and that's why Mamon is Mitztarfin, Malkus is not Mitztarfin. So just to recap, according to Rashi, what's the Mamon Mitztarfin? It's Mitztarfin in the hands of the Nidum. According to the Nimuke Yosef and the Beis HaLevi, what's the Malkus Mitztarfin? Mamon is not Mitztarfin. It's because the nature, Talachin, the nature of the punishment. Mamon is a quantitative punishment. 100 plus 100 equals 200. You have Kasha Zama. Malkus, as you give more Malkus, the pain quotient increases. The onesh is not in the hakas, in the numerical haka. It's in the pain that's inflicted by that numerical haka. And again, 20 plus 20 does not equal 40. Yes, Itiel.
In terms of it, Malkus being not Mistaret versus Mamon, isn't when you say that each of them it's not going to equal up to the 40 Malkus, but by Mamon, it does equal $200, the 100, but at the end of the day, each of them is only experiencing half of the pain of losing that money.
It's true, so but it's not about the pain. It's not about the pain. It's a quantitative. We caused $200 of damage. We're being damaged collectively $200.
Right, but by Malkus, that's not what's happening.
You're right.
So why does a Mamon change if just each of them should be
so he's saying that, you know, because, but again, I think you have to also lean on the first idea, and that is that Mamon does become a Nezek type payment. It's going to the Nidon, and as such, there is going to be that seer of that quality of that payment in the hands of the Nidon. Okay, let me, Ellie?
Question about the muscle?
Nah. I appreciate you asking, to ask. Okay, third shot. Watch this. Now, this is my favorite shot by far. And I think it's a brilliant idea, not my idea. I saw this in Rav Shimon Shkop. And he says the following. A couple of pieces of Gemara background, okay? Heimebeis. This is a mission Heimebeis that tells us, Al pishnai meidim al shoshayim yom ha-sameis. So the Gemara wants to know, if it's two, why do you have to say three? If it's three, why do you have to say two? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara has a chiddush, and that is when you have a kat of eidim and one eid is pasul, what's the rest of the kat look like? So just like by two, you're not going to have a kat of eidim anymore, but even if you have three, it doesn't make a difference. Nimsa echon karva pasal kulum betender, all knocked down. Yafe. Rav Yosef says, Bamed var mamurim, when is this true? Bedine nefashos. But bedine mamunis, tiskayim ha'edus bishar. So you have three edim. One gets knocked out. Are the two remaining edim still good edim? Yes. Can they go ahead and be motzi mamon? Yes. What is the rationale for the split between Mamonis and the Fashos according to Rav Yosef? So Rashi gives a pshat. Rashi's pshat is, Dixiv vihitzilu ha'eda. Can someone tell me what that means? Dixiv vihitzilu ha'eda.
Yeah! Try to save the Nidon from being killed.
Okay. So
where we get that there are 10 and 10 and 3 on the face.
Not true. Not true. We do. Vishaftu ha'eda.
And we say Eda is 10.
Eda is 10 from Kairach. From the Merag. Vishaftu ha'eda, vihitzilu ha'eda. What is the role of Dayanim? In Jewish law, what is the role of Dayanim? So the Dayanim play two roles. Role number one is Vishaftu Ha'eda. They adjudicate the case. Rule number two is vihitzilu ha'eda. What does that mean, vihitzilu ha'eda? The dayanim are defense counsel. And their role is to judge and to see if we can go ahead and get the defendants off the hook. Because we don't want to be... I'll discuss why. One sec. When we get to Daf Zayin, which we will, one way or another, and we discuss the famous Gemara Rabbi Akiva would never convict, we'll discuss the role of the Dayanim, but one of their roles is the Hitzilo Eda. That is to say that in the case, a Nefasha's case, is based on a Rambam, they do an initial count, like the basic facts without really getting into it. Who thinks, well, let's do an initial vote. If the initial vote is 23-0, you know what the halach is? Potter, he's off the hook. What? 23-0 l'chayev, he's potter, he's off the hook. What's the pshat? The answer is, then you're missing a bezdin. You don't have a bezdin. Because the role of the bezdin is you need someone out there who's going to be the hitzilu ha'eda. So you might say so. You might say so, or not. Or you don't have it is a chisar in the bezdin. I understand. And you still need to be able to go ahead and be malamed schus. He might lose the case. But you need someone who's going to be able to stand up and authentically try and defend the victim, the defendant. Now, Rav Osai. So according to Rashi, when is there a din of Yitzil Ha'eda? Only dinei nefashas. So in dinei nefashas, we're going to have some mechanisms by which we can get them off the hook. What's the mechanism that we're going to get them off the hook? Is Nimsa Echa Mehem Karva Pasul Kulam Betalim. That's coming from, says Rashi, an idea of Vihitzilu Ha'eda. That sheet is Rashi. Comes along Tosis, and Tosis says, I don't think that's the pshat. He quotes Rashi, and he says, V'kashla Pei Rasho. Because we have a Gzera Shava between Dine Mamonas and Dine Nefashas. Din Kain Dine Nefashas, Nilab Minay, Haksi Mishpat Echad Yelachem. If Mishpat Echli Elachem would say you have a din of Yitzil Eid also by Mamanus. The old B'nai Mamanus Namak Seva Pishtaim Apishosh Eidim Benakish Gimel Shnayim. Why don't we have the same Hekesh and say Nimsa Echa Mem Karv Apostle, they're bottled by Mamanus as well. Lekach Pirush Rabbeinu Ra'adari. So the Ri gives a shot. Now watch this. The B'dinei Nefashos Shayach Shapri Lemelaf Mishnayim they do some B'tel. Mipshom Demash Shnayim. Let's say you have two Eidim in Dinei Nefashos. One is found to be a Karov. Oops. One is found to be a Karov. And one remains. What can this Eid do? This Eid can do nothing. It can't do anything in Dinei Nefashos. An Eid Echad Dinei Nefashos does nothing. Einamo Elas Klum. So too. So if you have two Eidim, and the Torah says, if one is Pasul, one can't do anything. So three Eidim also. Hekesh. 2-3, even if only one is possible, normally two can do, but since by two, one gets knocked out, the other one is helpless, so two by three. One second. However, aval bedine nefashos, the bishnayim nami, ki nimtza echman kavu posel, hasheni eno pata lagamre, dechayev lo shvua, lekach, shlosha nami, nimtza echad rasol, miskama edus bishara ed. Can an eid echad do anything in dine mamas? In Dini Mamas. An Eid Echad has power in Dini Mamas. An Eid Echad has no power in Dini Fashos, but in Dini Mamas, an Eid Echad can be Machai Veshvu. So if an Eid Echad comes along and says that Reuben owes Isaacson $100, and Reuben says, Lo Hayu Dvar Me Olam, what does that Eid Echad do? It can make Reuben take a Shvua that I don't owe the money. So, and let's say Reuben doesn't want to take a Shvua, then he has to pay. So a Eid Echad has potency in Dine Mamanus, not so in Dine Nefashos. Now, hold on to that idea. One last Gemara. And the Gemara is found in Makas Dabav Mebeitz. And there the Gemara discusses the case of Eidus Miuchedus. You have something that's happening down here on the street. There's a building, and there's a window, and there's a window, and you have an aid, and an aid. And they're witnessing a murder of Reuven down over here. But Aid 1 and Aid 2 cannot see each other. Is that called a cot of Aidim?
No.
No. Why? Is that, in order to be a cot, there needs to be a tziruv. between the Eidim. If they can't see each other, even though you have two Eidim that see the event, it's no good.
That seems like it would be actually better, because then if they're both together, and one of them is just... Yeah, really, one of them
they could conspire, yes,
this
but...
This is two individuals.
Yes, right, you're right, good point. But this is what we call Eidus Miuchedes, and Eidus Miuchedes, individual Eidim, in Dine Nefashos, is no good. However, I hear what you're saying. Hold on. I hear what you're saying. Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, Eidus Miuchedes Kshera B'dine Mamnes. In Dine Mamnes, it is good. Why? Dixit lo yamos al pi eid echad. B'dine Nefashos hu de'en Kshera. Aval B'dine Mamnes Kshera. So, in this scenario, does it work by Dine Mamnes? They don't see each other? Yes. So we have a couple of halachas over here. And Elimelech Waxberg helped me put this all together. A couple of halachas. Let's just write down halachas. Halacha number one is Mamon Mitzdarev and Malkus Lo Mitzdarev. That's one halacha. Then we have halacha number two is when it comes to Nimsa Echad Mehem Karv Apostle Kulam Betalim, that's only by, so we'll call that Nimsa, that's only by Nefashos, but in Mamonis it works. Even if one is possible, the other ones are good, and what's the rise the other one's good? Because if you have two Eidim, and one of them gets knocked out, is there potency to an Eid Echad? Yes, in Mechai B'Shul. And then we have this halacha number three, Rav Nachman's Din, that when it comes to Din Nefashos, by Din Eidim's Miuchedes, by Din Nefashos, it's no good, but by Mamonis, it is. And I think, this is what Waxberg and Werner wanted to say. There is a theme over here. And if I'm going to put words in Waxberg's mouth, his theme is that on some level you notice that there's some kind of like potency to an Eid Echad in Dine Mamnes. Eid Echad is Mechayev Eshvua in Dine Mamnes. An Eid Echad counts. Here, Eidus Miuchedes. So you have two Eidim, but the two Eidim are really working as like two Eid Echads. So perhaps the idea is as follows. There's a fundamental, and I mean fundamental difference between Dine Nefashos and Dine Mamnes. Both require two Eidim. But the quality and nature of the two Eidim is fundamentally different. In Dine Nefashos, the two Eidim, in a certain sense, will be converted into this new thing, which I'm going to call a kat. They're not two Eidim anymore. I'm going to use a new terminology. They're a set of Eidim. Two makes a set, but they're a set of Eidim. How many Eidim in a set?
Two.
No, not two. A minimum of two. You could have two, you could have 100. What happens when one of those Eidim is puzzle? It's not that the Eid is puzzle, it's that the set is puzzle, because the two are no longer two. They are a set. And now the set is the impaired puzzle set. Nimsa Echad and Karv puzzle. It's not the pshat kulam betalim. It's that the set is now button.
If you drill a hole in the wood.
That's right. In Dine Mamnes. What we're going to suggest is. Rabosai. How many Eidim do you need in Dine Mamnes? You need two Eidim. But. The nature of the two Eidim is each one is coming and providing a force of Eidus, a koach of Eidus. One Eid provides half a koach of Eidus, the second Eid supplies half a koach of Eidus, and together they have a koach of Eidus. But what are we not saying? What do we not have? You don't have a set. It's rather, it's not a kat. It's a koach Koach shel eid echad plus eid echad, which yields eidus.
So what's like koach hatzibur?
One second. If that's the pshat, so we have a lot of insights. Number one, let's say one of those eidim is pasul. So what's the din? Okay, good. There's no kat. So the other one can still function. And how do I know eidus, eid echad has functionality in dinim mamonos? Because eid echad is mechayev shvuah. Can do something. You see, if you need a kat, that's nefashos. You need a kat. And if one eid is meaningless. But when in the world of dinim mamonos, you don't need a kat. You need a force of eidus. And one eid does have a force sufficient to mechayev shvuah. Why is it that eidus miyuchedes works? What's the secret of eidus miyuchedes? Yes, Yehuda Waz is correct. There's less chance of lying when they're eidus miyuchedes. They can't conspire. They don't even know each other's existence. That's true. Which begs the point and makes the point that why does eidus miyuchedes work? Because indeed in the fashos, you need a kat. What defines a kat? That they're together. In Dine Mamonos, what's the power of the Eidus? It's two Eid Echads, which yields a power of Eidus. It's two Eid Echads, each one supplying half a Koach. Eidus Miuchetz works. If this is true, then I think we have a clean, beautiful shot in our Gemara. Why is it that Malkus, Eino Mitztaref, and Mamon is mitztaref? It has nothing to do with the nature of Mamon versus Malkus. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's all going to the Nidon. It has everything to do with the nature of Eidus in Dini Mamonus. In Mamonus, each one is supplying what? A half a koach of Eidus. And therefore, on the Kasha Zamam side, how much do they go ahead and have to pay? They have to pay their portion because they're only supplying half a part of Koach Eidus. Their individual status and identity, their individual status and identity still has significance. And therefore, each one pays half. Masha'en ken dinei nefashos. They lose their individual identity. They become members of a kat. To go and say, you're going to get half, would be nonsensical. And perhaps that is the pshat. So, you hear what I'm saying? You hear what you missed? You have the. I know you like it. It's good. Yeah.
So where is that going to be that you know
we need a contract? The nature of the sukkah will get daf-hei. We'll see in daf-hei. Okay, Rabosa, that ends that sugya.
That answer.
It's fantastic.
How does that work with three if you already had two?
What's the problem?
Let's say by Mamon, if you already had two of them, they already provided enough for them. Like each one provided enough to get half of it. If you have three, it should get split.
No, then they're each applying, they're now each giving a third of a koach of Eidus.
You don't need that.
You don't need it. But once they come in, then that's what they do. You're right. They don't have to. But once, exactly. That's up to Shlaim Eidim Shlosha Eidim. That once you know three Eidim are coming in. There is a kat idea, but it's not the same idea as nefashos. They become a certain kat idea, but not like nefashos where like it's all kat.
If you were providing us a half of a thing, you should get punished.
You should, but once there's a third member, you could try.
I think that you're right, and that's why we keep asking to come with the Xeris and Kasa to teach you that third aid would also get the owner. You're right in theory, but that's why we keep asking to come with that puzzle.
Okay, we'll get to that path and we'll get more into this. Okay, but I think that's the pshat. Rabosa, can we go a little weiter? I want to cover some ground a little bit. Let's start the next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah says, I just want to work on the first line. Ein ha'edin nasim zomim ad shiyazumu es atzman. So that's a strange thing. What does that mean? Ad shiyazumu etzman. Ketzad. Meidim ad bishon shuhargas ha'nefesh amal lahem. Hechat ha'edim. You're with us somewhere else. Imano ha'yisem. So ein elu zomim. If they say, how could you say that the horig was with us, or the nerag was with us, that's not zomim. If they say you were with us, then that's called zon. And the Gemara now says, Menani, Mila, how do we know? Amrav Ada, do Amakra, Vinei eight sheker ha'ed, sheker ina, ad shetishaker gufa shel edus. Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, Lanos, Bosara, ad shetisre gufa shel edus. So the Gemara is really bothered by the following. It's not fully said over, but if you look at the Rambam and the Perashah Mishnah, it seems pretty clear. You have two Edim versus two Edim. Two Edim say Reuben killed Shimon. The other two Edim say, how can you say that? You with us somewhere else. Imanu Ayisem, so you can't say that. And what do we end up doing? We're going to kill the Kad HaRishon. So the Rishon are bothered. Like, why are we killing the Kad HaRishon? After all, why is that not called Shrei U Shrei? And what the Rambam says in the Perashah Mishnah is, which some of you have in the back of the Gemara, and what I think Rashi and Tosis are both alluding to, is the Eidus of the second Kat is Eidus an Gufan Shel Eidim, says Rashi. Meaning what? It's on the Gufan Shel Eidim. Tosis says, Perush Atzman Shel Eidim. In other words, what's the testimony on? It's not on their Eidus, but it's rather on the Edim themselves. So is this a case of Trey to Trey? No, it's not Trey to Trey. What is it? It's Trey versus zero. It's Trey versus zero. And that's why we believe, the second kind. Because they're not Edim. Because
they're hating on themselves.
I know, but that's not called Eidus. Eidus on yourself? Reuben says, I didn't kill Shimon. Is that an Eidecha? They didn't kill Shimon?
No.
Right. So when they say, we were there, they testify about themselves. That's not called Eidus. You got to testify about someone else, not about yourself. That's two versus zero.
It's a radical thing.
Meaning
you're saying, because of that, the two guys are killed.
That's right. I'm saying that. Now, and that's the pasuk. That's the chiddush. There's a Gemara Masechet Bava Kama in Beis that says, Eid Zomim Chiddush. Because normally, Trey, we don't believe, so we throw them out. And here we're saying we believe the second Kat based on the Zeres HaKosev. That is the Chiddush Rebbe Zom. Now, I do believe there's one Rishon that has taken issue with this approach. And if you look at the Rabbeinu Chanana on the side, the Rabbeinu Chanana is a different shot. Rabbi Nechanan says, Ra'inu l'rabosenu haga'enim Zal Ki pershu, what does it mean? Ad shiazimu es atzman Ad sheyacharishu Velo yakhishu hamuzamim es hamezim. What are the Edim Zomimim saying? When do we say that we believe the second Kat? Only if, says Rabbeinu Hananel, the first Kat is silent. But if the first Kat objects, if they say, what do you mean we were there? No. It has to be Ad Shiazumu Es Atzman. Rov Rishonim. Say Achiazum Esatza means the Edim are testifying about the Gufan Shel Edim. The Mezim are testifying about the Gufan Shel Edim. Says Rabbi Nechanan, no. That's still too much of Trey Utrey. You can't kill someone on that basis. You need a greater tilt on the side of the Edim HaMezimim. What creates that greater tilt? If they're silent, then what does that suggest? There's a certain hodah. There's a certain, I'm not objecting. Now already, it's firmly two versus zero. It doesn't even have an appendage of two versus two. And then, and only then, says Rabbi Nechanan, will we kill the Edim Zof. But if they were to step up and say, no, we were there, objecting, then that's not enough to kill the Edim Zof. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Nechanan. We pass like Rov Rishon against Rabbi Hanano. The Rabbi Hanano himself walks it back. He doesn't think that's the correct shot. And that's the basic approach. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow. Am I going to be where?